Following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Things just wouldn't be the same. Well, I'm as free as a bird now, and this bird's never changed.
It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour.
There we go now. I think we got it all working now. Straight lining with Stevie. Hey, Stevie LaTemp, we slid off the side of the track there as we started to go down the straight, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good tonight. A little chilly out tonight, though. I'll tell you what, I'm up here in Martin, Michigan, at US 131 Drag Strip, and we're parking cars tonight. We're bringing in a pile of them as we're getting ready to run the Racket World Finals, the Northern Division for IHRA Motorsports up here at Martin. And temperature, well, it's going down into the high 40s tonight. The guys are out there with big bonfires, and they're already got the barbecue pits going. It's one giant party out here tonight.
Now, what event are you there for this weekend, or you know, for this week?
Well, what we do in IHRA, we have different divisions to where all the bracket races for the Summit Super Finals, Summit Series Super Finals. And at the end of the season, the teams all come in here, and they have all their different top 10 in each track are entitled to come to this race. And they bring in about, and remember, they have different classes as well. They have four different classes. So they bring in about 40 to 50 race cars from each track, and there's, I believe, eight or nine tracks that will be competing at this race this weekend. And they run for big bucks, compliments of a Summit. And Summit Motorsports puts a bunch of bucks into a drag racing. They are really great, great people. And they're here this weekend going after some of that Summit money.
Tonight's
just a big party. Having everybody gets in here, gets to meet each other and spend some time together. And like I say, you can smell the barbecue for 5 miles.
All right, and now on tonight's show, we're going to the first half hour is what you call door slammers. Now, so we got Dale Brand, and tell us a little about Dale, and also John Furr.
Well, now Dale doesn't slam any doors, but he does set a body down on top of him. Now, is Dale Brand races in the IHRA in an alcohol funny car, and Dale coming off a super weekend at Milan just a week ago, where he set the IHRA national record in alcohol funny car at 5.64 seconds. So wanted to talk to him. He's been basically out of touch with us for quite a few years, so he's actually coming back to us after taking a little rest to work in his business. And boy, did he ever come back in style. And he's going to tell us a little bit about his plans and his future. And he's already made the statement, this ain't the only time this year he's going to reset that record. He's very, very confident in some real numbers on this car.
And then John Furr?
John Furr. Furr is one of the toughest of the sportsman racers around that you're ever going to find. He races in my favorite class called Hot Rod. And basically it's a 1090 index class. And John is a former three-time world champion. And he's fresh off a win at Milan, Michigan. And we're going to talk to John and get a little feel about where he stands in the points chase for this year and what John has in the future as well.
And then in the second half hour, we're going to go back to the All Harley Drag Racing Association drivers. We're going to talk to Jay Turner and Bob Malloy, and we're going to squeeze in four big interviews in this hour of drag racing, straight lining with Stevie, and we'll be doing this every week now, right, Stevie? 8 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to be a great great expansion to the show, and we're going to offer more variety. We're going to put you on four wheels. We're going to put you on two wheels. So a really unique mix, I think, of nitromethane, alcohol, and gasoline.
And then, of course, all of these interviews are available after the fact on archives. You can listen to it anytime. Take a little CD of it into work with you and put it in the computer or whatever, and they're always available 24/7 on realracingusa.com. Stevie, if you're ready, let's go take our commercial break, pay some bills, and we'll come back with Dale Brand.
I'm ready to go drag racing. Let's get it going.
All right.
Presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie. Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Hi, welcome back to Straight Lining with Stevie. And I'll tell you, we got Steve LeTemp. We all hooked up with Dale Brand, I think.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, Dale. How you doing this evening, Dale?
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, Dale, I'm going to jump right into the fire and get it started. I know you had a fantastic weekend up here in Michigan. Tell us just a little bit about it. First off, let me tell the race fans is that Dale now drives the fastest alcohol funny car in all of IHRA, as this weekend, past weekend, set a new national record at 564, and then backed it up with a 567, so it's no fluke, and the mile per hour was right there on both ends. So a new national ET record, and Dale has not been with us for a few years now. So all of a sudden, Dale comes up out of the blue, and I want to tell you what, he is back full throttle. Very, very impressive way to come back to IHRA, Dale.
Well, I appreciate that. The last IHRA race that we ran was Rockingham 2002, and then we took some time off, really busy in our business here, so we decided we needed to dedicate some time to the business, which we did. But just because we stopped racing sure didn't mean we stopped thinking about it. And in some ways, we had the advantage of not racing give us more brain space for innovation and some new ideas and things that we wanted to try. So we're going to hit the last three events of the year here, hopefully, being Milan, Buds Creek, and on down to Rockingham for the end of the year. And it is a ball. Not being caught up in a points chase and free to just go out and do anything we want is great fun.
Well, I'll tell you, I was really pleased to see your name, come back up on the list, and I thought, well, by golly, I'm glad to see him back. But I, then kind of blew me away because usually, you know, when somebody comes back, you know, the first time out, they're just trying to get their feet wet again, you know, and get a little comfortable in the car and stuff. Well, you didn't fool around. You went on, you just start hammering this thing. Now, this baby's got to be loaded with some serious power. I don't know if you can tell us, but just how did you find this power? What kind of upgrades did you do to this motor? And if nothing else, also, you might let the fans know a little bit about the motor for those that aren't familiar with alcohol motors.
Well, Eric Brand, my oldest son, works pretty close with Randy Anderson and John Medlin, and they are always sharing ideas. And I'll throw in my two cents every now and then, but we view everything on the car, every piece, as a target for continuous improvement. We are digging into every detail. So I can't really say, I can't point to one thing and say this is it or that was it, but the combination of everything, doing 100 things together that other teams might say wouldn't make a difference, when you add those all together, that finite attention to detail, you make a, it's a happy system. I mean, this thing was happy together. Now, trust me, we didn't think we was going to go that quick, that fat, that soon. We knew the car was capable. We went out and tested eighth-mile tracks. We ran a couple eighth-mile hits on a quarter-mile track over at Cordova, and the car was showing great promise. So we knew that we had more power than we ever had before. And back in 02, we was running low 70s, and we wasn't surprised that we could get it into the 60s, but we didn't think we'd get there in the first event in that 2,000-foot air. I guess Saturday night it was down pushing 1,500, but we was very, very pleased with the performance of the car. I'd also have to give IHRA some credit, too. We hadn't been on an IHRA track since 2002, and this track surface, this racing surface, was excellent. It was prepared very, very well.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to some more tracks that are going to be really prepared well, especially when you talked about corrected air, track surface. You're going to MIR. In fact, you're going to be there this weekend, am I correct?
Yeah, MIR, the truck and trailer's on the way out there right now. I'll be flying in Friday morning, and my goodness, 80 foot is the actual altitude at Bud's Creek, and good air is pretty typical, and I haven't been to the racing surface, haven't been to the track there for four years, but I hear it's really good. So, yeah, we're excited about going there. We got to do a better job on harnessing this horsepower come race day. Because we got a new animal here, we got to learn how to take care of on varying track conditions. So
that's a wonderful problem.
Yeah, you bet it is. It is a wonderful problem. However, it is a new problem for us because this is more horsepower than we've had to deal with in the past. But it's fun. Trust me, we can't detune. We are not worth a hoot at detuning. our nature will not let us do that.
Well, I will tell you, my previous experiences of going to this track many, many, many times at MIR, usually incredible numbers come out of this track. Just like you said, it's only 80 feet above sea level. You can literally go 300 foot through the woods, and there's the ocean.
Yes,
I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, yeah. We ran a 72 of the two over there, which was a national record back in 01, and actually in 02... when we was back there, we had a better pass going. The incrementals were better, and a degree wheel busted on us and went through the blower belt, kicked the belt off of it right ahead of an eighth mile. So we had a better pass than that 72 going in 02, but didn't get a chance to prove it. So yeah, that air at Buzz Creek, and then coming up down in Rockingham, it'll be great. There'll be some wonderful runs in all of the classes out there. There always is. It never disappoints.
And Rockingham is just, for a finals, there's no better place than Rockingham to finish off the season because they will, first off, the hammer's down. These guys let it all hang out. And the numbers that will come up on the boards usually just shocks everybody. And I will tell you, Big Jim, who does our track prep, spends huge amounts of time. That's something that IHRA has really improved in, on modifying the tracks to really put some numbers down. And he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, you are.
So you're walking into something that's going to hook.
You are exactly right, Steve. I tell you, we went when we was out at Milan. The first hit on the car was Friday night, and we was not prepared for a track of that caliber. I mean, that track had condition. It was conditioned. It had teeth. That puppy would bite. And when we went out there and shook her brains out and pedaled it a couple times and just went down through it a 602 or something like that, and just trying to get some more knowledge or get some more data on our fuel settings. But after that, we made some significant changes to compensate for those track conditions, and then the next pass was a 567 with a 9. And the announcers and Paul Burner, they were coming around saying, "Yeah, you know, Rail, you got to run a 73 with a 5 to back that up now," or something like that. And I said, "Well, that's good to know. That's good to know, guys. But how much quicker can I go and still have that 67 as a backup? Because I knew the car was going to go quicker Saturday night, and it did."
Well, you know, here's one thing: had you gone too fast, there would not have been a new record. Because you have to be within 1% with a backup.
Yeah. 62 with a 2 was the low side, and I know that sounds like a stretch, but if it would have been straight and everything would have went good, I think it could do it. I truly think the car is capable of doing it. But we'll have to prove that. We'll have to see what time brings, but it's a fun hot rod. It's a fun one to drive.
So we could very possibly see another new national record fall at MIR.
Yeah, that's a little more of a bold statement than I want to make, but I know in my heart that the car is capable of it. And we both know how all of the conditions and everything has to come together for that to be able to happen. But there's, you know, a lot of little gremlins floating around in our trailer and this new combination yet, of which we showed on race day. But if we get some good, clean, straight passes in that good air and good track, we'll make it really interesting. We're really looking forward to it.
Well, you know, I feel that you will do quite well there, and I'm very excited for you. But right now, I just want to still stay in the funny cars, but I want to change the topic just a little bit. You know, just recently, I'm sure you read about and saw on the internet about John Force having the accident and with Kenny Bernstein. And I don't know, do you have any views on that? Was it a possible tire problem? Have you heard anything on that as to what may have caused that accident?
Well, Steve, good question. Everything I know is secondhand, but I know that the frame did fail. And
was a frame that failed?
Yes, the frame failed. Literally pulled the back half of the car when the chutes deployed, pulled the back half of the car right out of the back of the body. And the majority of the body and the front half of the car and the engine went over into Kenny Bernstein's lane, and that's what Kenny got caught up in the part of the car that John actually was not in. So it was quite a deal. That's one of them scary moments. You know, Force's team obviously is so committed, so incredibly committed to safety, and I also believe, do not know this as a fact, but I think they're experimenting with some heat-treated tubing for frames. So, you know, they're on the leading edge of safety. There's no doubt about that. So, the entire class will become better from this incident. There'll be new knowledge gained that can be applied to the safety of the future of the class.
Well, you know, so many people don't realize that funny car is probably the most extremely violent class of any of them out there, with huge amounts of tire shake and the problems they've had. And John Force, to my experience, has put together probably the safest, strongest, the best funny car chassis that money can put together, and knowledge both. It's just amazing that something of this caliber could still snap under those pressures. So I don't know what the answer is on it, but I hope that, they do find something on it.
Steve, we have to remember that they just keep making more power, and we're, you know, everyone's trying to go faster. Everyone's trying to get as much to the track as they can all the time, and we're just pushing everything to the limits. And unfortunately, sometimes we find those limits by crossing the line. And I think that's, John will be fine. We know that, and and his people and the crew that he surrounds himself with, whenever they learn anything about safety, it will be shared and pushed through the entire class. So I know that it's a terrible price to pay for knowledge, but the class will be better and safer as a result of this accident.
Well, Dale, let me ask you. I know a lot of the top fuel cars have experienced what we call tire chunking, where pieces of tire come out. Do you have any of that problem with your alcohol funny car?
I have not heard of that problem in alcohol funny cars. As we continue to push them further and further, we may get to that point, but I have not heard of any of that problem at all, Steve.
So basically, it seems like if you're not going 310 or more, pretty well as a rule of thumb, that the tires are still structurally sound, and I know beyond that, we're on that edge to where we're going into new areas where we've never been before. But so as far as the alcohol class, that's one of the things you really don't have to worry about then.
To my knowledge, that's not a threat for the alcohol funny car classes.
Well, that's good news to hear on that. I'm really, really curious. I'm going to be at Rockingham. I assure you, I'll be right there, and I'm dying to see just how low can you go, because that is the last shot of the year, and probably one of the best tracks, temperature wise, just everything should be absolutely perfect that time of year when you go into the Rock. And I tried to get you to give me a number, but you wouldn't. Because if you did, you know, I was going straight to Mark Thomas and Rob Acheson. But no, my hat's off, you didn't. You held back. But I do know that those guys are now looking over their shoulder going, darn, what was that?
those teams are also very, very capable. They I've seen them over the years step up to the plate. So don't count those guys out, that's for sure. I've raced with them long enough to know that they'll get her together. They all run very good programs. They're a great bunch of people to race with. So
you know, this is the fastest year that I have seen alcohol funny car run in a long time. Those eight cars that qualify, they're all flying.
Yes.
And there's some new teams that have really stepped up to the plate.
Yeah,
and so it's becoming really competitive.
I hear Lori Canister is coming back. I think that she's going to be at Bud's Creek and down at Rockingham, and that is great news for the class. Those folks are ambassadors for the Alcohol Funny Car class. They're great to race with. So I'm looking forward to racing with Lori again. We visited with Dale and Lori out at the Milan the first time during the rainout. So that was the first time we had seen them in like probably pushing 3 or 4 years. So this is just like a big reunion now. Now maybe I'm more happy to see them than they are to see me, possibly some of them. But nevertheless, we're having a great time. And one thing I'd add on that 564, when we ran that on Saturday night, we tore completely down just to double check everything, because that really only about a couple eighth mile hits and then those 3/4 mile laps on that engine. We just wanted to make sure that everything was good, and it was. We was just very pleased. We didn't hurt the car at all. It has room in there. There's more in that car. So as long as we can do our job and get it out of there and get it hooked to the track, we'll have some exciting runs here at the end of the year.
Dale, do you have a website that fans can find out more about your racing career?
You know, that's a great question. We on our old Coline website, we had a racing tab, and our new one now does not. But we will be adding that soon. It's under colinemfg.com, and there will be some racing info that'll be added on there very soon.
Cool.
Well, Dale, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. It was truly a pleasure to have the opportunity to interview and talk with you again, and I really, really look forward to seeing you down the line with IHRA.
Well, thank you, Steve, and I appreciate what you folks do to further the sport and to draw attention to it for the rest of the fans. We appreciate all that you do.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dale Brand, alcohol funny car world champion, national record holder. Well, I'll hear about that. Coline Welding Firebird. Congratulations, guy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye now.
Yeah, and on Stevie, you know, on straight lining with Stevie, there's no time to stop and smell the roses. We're going to come back, I guess, with John Furr. Is that...
That's right.
Yeah, so...
We're going hot rod racing, baby. That's Stevie's favorite class.
All right, we will be right back.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brake man. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from The Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com. At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Armed with your trusty marker, you do the impossible. Make an incredibly dirty place even dirtier.
Scribble it down now.
Your jokes make us pee our pants. Lucky for us, they're down around our ankles.
Yeah!
You answer our most vexing question. Whatever happened to the man from Nantucket?
Oh, that's a good one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh ruler of the rhyme. Because when we're looking for a good time, we call you.
Oh, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Rider.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Hi, welcome back to Straight Lining with Stevie, our Wednesday night Real Racing USA show that features drag racing in the first half hour, and the second half hour, all Harley drag racing. Steve LaTemp, I think we're hooked up with John Furr.
That's right. Right now I've got the three-time former world champion in IHRA Hot Rod. This is John Furr. John, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. You know, John, you're coming off a great weekend up here in Michigan. What was it, last week? How about kind of just give us a little run down the track as to how your weekend went? You know, what kind of, do you have any problems, or everything just go smooth, or what all happened?
Well, you know, that was kind of a strange thing because we were there, well, I think 3 weeks earlier, and Mother Nature got the best of us, and then the event was postponed a few weeks, and then so we had to go back and do it again, and that's a pretty long ride from here in North Carolina. So, yeah, that it turned out really good. No major problems, just a lot of seat time to get there and back two times.
Well, you know, when you went up the first time and then you went back the second, do you think maybe you were better prepared the second time or not?
Well, of course, it was definitely a different situation. We were there the second time. The weather was absolutely fabulous. It was nice and cool, about 75 degrees and sunshine and perfect drag racing weather.
Well, I would say, I believe you were in sixth place in the points before this weekend. How far did that push you up the list now? It had to help.
Actually, it moved me all the way into to second place. I was even surprised. I hadn't crunched the numbers. I didn't expect to make that big of a jump, but yeah, moved me all the way up to second.
Do you still have some more races you can claim yet?
Yes, I got two more nationals left, and we'll be going to Maryland International Raceway this weekend, and then Rockingham, and I get to claim both of those.
Is there a possibility of you repeating another world championship?
Well, it's I'm just about 60 points or so behind, so it's a possibility. It's sort of a long shot, but there is still a chance.
Who is your main contender right now in first place?
Damian Hazleton's leading it right now. He has had a spectacular year this year, and he's leading. So he's the guy we're all chasing.
So you're going looking for him first round, huh?
Well, I don't know. He's one tough customer. Definitely like to get around him in the points, but you know, he's one of them that you really don't want to have to run if you don't have to.
Well, you know, I do want to mention one thing that John does have: three former world championships in the hot rod division. But John, you also had something really unusual happen to you as well, where you almost were a world champion in the quick rod class. Tell us what happened on that one.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty neat deal. I ended up did not win the championship, finished second, but I had the opportunity to drive a dragster for a good guy friend of mine in Ohio, Mark Horton, of American Race Cars, and he and another guy, we both had the opportunity to drive for Mark one year, so we were teammates, and when the end of the year, we were both tied for the championship. Actually, tied, had the same number of points, and of course, they have a series of tiebreakers they go through, and the championship went to him. But yeah, that was a neat deal. That was a race for the championship with my teammate.
I'll tell you, Mark Horton had to be just one happy guy. That was some good exposure for him, huh?
Yes, it was. He gave us good equipment, and we both were fortunate all year, and it was a good year.
Well, John, if you thought about, are you going to continue racing in hot rod? I mean, you've just about mastered this class. Every time, you know, that you come up, the odds are far better than average that you will win that round. But just like you experimented with quick rod, and you did quite well. You ever thought about maybe moving to quick rod or top dragster, something like that as well?
Yeah, I have. I've been asked that quite a few times, and the thing of it is, that little Nova that I race in hot rod, I absolutely love to drive that thing. It is, man, if I could, I would drive it every day. I just absolutely love that car. So I really hate to I hate to get rid of it because it's so much fun to drive.
Well, now, I know that you you do this along with a young lady. Your lovely wife is out there all the time. And how much does she actually do on the car itself? What is her job?
Oh, she's got all the hard work. She's got to take care of me and the food and travel arrangements, and she's got all the hard stuff to do. All I have to do is race.
Well, I'll tell you, and I can tell when you're about to come to the line, because she's right up there up front, and I see her back here in the water a lot and stuff, and boy, I'll tell you what, she's watching close when you go down the track. I assure you, I know she has comments to make when you get back, what you did right and what you did wrong, and she's been a pretty good advisor, I would say, because, well, it's impressive on the races I've seen you race. And you race, for a lot of the guys that aren't aware of it, like Division Number 9 in the International Hot Rod Association for sportsman drag racing is the hotbed of drag racing if you're a sportsman. And I don't think anywhere is it any tougher to win a race than when you're in the two Carolinas.
Well, being from Carolina, I'm probably partial, but I would say it is definitely very hard to win the championship out of Division 9, because we've got, like you said, it's a hotbed for a lot of really good racers. And, you have to elevate your game when you race with these guys all the time. So, yeah, it's a handful running Division Nine.
Well, you're going into Martin, Michigan here in, you're going into MIR. What is this? This Friday, and you need to come out of there pretty well with a win, and to go into Rockingham if you want to have a chance at that championship. I sure hope that you're able to do it. There again, I realize there's a lot of possibilities that can take it to the right or to the left. I do believe you'll do your job, but whether the other man will fall or not, now that's another story. So it should be exciting, and I will tell all the fans if they do get a chance to get to MIR. Without a doubt, you need to go. If you're anywhere close to the area, some of the best racing will come rolling in there with air. We talked about that earlier with Dale Brand, the incredible air there. And even your hot rod car, I know you have to dial that baby in, but once you get it figured out, there's plenty of power. It's easier to slow it down than it is to make it go faster. So you should have some extremely, extremely competitive runs when you roll into MIR. John, I'm going to wish you the best, and I'm going to go ahead and let you go here. And I do want you to say that I really want to thank you for taking the time to come in on our little show here this evening, Straight Line with Stevie. It's always a pleasure, and I promise you, when you come in there to Rockingham, I'll wake you up in the morning with a little Ozzy Osbourne. We'll get you in the lanes, and I get you right. And then from there on, you're on your own.
Okay.
John, thanks for coming on.
We'll be looking forward to it, Steve.
Okay, take care, my friend.
All right. So long.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, Stevie, that's interesting. I was on the internet here doing some little checking around. There's a whole bunch of people from North Carolina with the last name of Fur who race in drag racing, both in bikes and in cars.
Oh, yeah. John Fur, Steve Fur. I mean, you can start going down the line.
There's a bunch of them.
And they're extremely, extremely tough. And in fact, Bill Fur, Armin Fur, when it comes to the to the Nitro Harleys.
Sure.
Must be something about that Fur name. Boy, it sure makes a lot of racers.
Yeah, speaking of the All Harley Drags, man, it's almost that time.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's going to be fun this evening. We're going to be stuck with nitromethane on both of our two interviews, and what a weekend it was. And I think you're going to truly enjoy listening to the stories that we have to tell you on this one. Mm-hmm. And I guess the best way to put it, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. One man actually won two, not one, but two. Fuel classes, Top Fuel and Pro Fuel, and that was Jay Turner. And then Bob Malloy. This is a man in Top Fuel who had actually better times all the way through than Jay Turner. And when it came time for them to square off, well, I'm going to let you tell him. Well, I'll let him tell you what broke on that bike, and it cost less than 50 cents, that kept him from being the championship at VMP.
And we'll have all that in just a few minutes here on Real Racing USA, Straight Lining with Stevie.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XS Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA. Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour! Born to be wild indeed, I'll tell you. We're back here now with the second half of our drag racing show for Wednesday night in the Straight Lining with Stevie. And now it's time to turn it over to Stevie with, I think you have Jay Turner on the line. We're going to talk some all Harley drag racing.
I got the legendary Bulldog. Just don't get no meaner than this when it comes time to roll down that 1320 on a bike. Jay, how you doing this evening, guy?
Doing good. Just came in from the shop, getting ready to go out again this weekend and try to keep going.
Well, I understand that you have you just bought another chassis that you're going to bring out. Is it this weekend? Tell me a little bit about this chassis' history.
I didn't buy it. It's Bobby Buckley's bike, and he was my owner when I won the championships with IHRA, and he had to take some time off, and I've been riding with Johnny for the last 2 years, but Johnny Mancuso has decided to retire at the end of the season, and I was able to cut a deal with Bobby to bring him back out racing next year.
Well, that's exciting news then, because I often wondered. I thought, well, you're such a great rider, and I thought, surely there's another ride out there. And I hate to see Johnny Mancuso retire, because he is truly one of the legends
in
Harley drag racing.
Johnny's been great
absolutely.
For the sport. He's brought a level of professionalism that probably wasn't around, and it's hard to lose people that know how to race and can afford it.
Well, talking about know how to race, you had quite a weekend this weekend up at Virginia. Give us a little rundown just how the weekend went for you.
It was I've won a lot of races this year on my Pro Fuel bike, but the Top Fuel has been a struggle. We've had bad luck all season, and it seemed like past weekend for me, it was just, all the luck just turned around. It was just good luck. I should have lost first round in Pro Fuel, but I broke the push rod adjuster, and my opponent broke the his belt, and by virtue of the better reaction time, they put me back in the race. And then on the Top Fuel side, we never really got a – we were running pretty consistent and quick, but not as quick as we wanted to, but we could never quite get a handle on it. And Bob Malloy was running really good, but he had problems in the final, and we ended up making a single for the win. And I'm sure Jim McClure was riding with me last weekend.
Yeah, I believe that one now. I will tell you this, something that really struck me as unusual. Do you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but your Top Fuel Harley and your Pro Fuel Harley ran the exact mile per hour, 204.85, both of them. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
Well, the Top Fuel bike wasn't quite running where it needed to be, and right now my Pro Fuel bike is running really well, and I've got a good handle on it, and it's been a really good season, and we got three big races left to go, and we're going to try to wrap it up.
Well, something else that you did this weekend, it was quite unusual, and I don't know if anybody else has ever done it, But in the last 3 years, you have managed to pull off a double fuel win where you won in Pro Fuel and Top Fuel in the same day. You did that in 2005 at Rockingham. And at Virginia, that's got to be your favorite track. You did it in 2006. Then you came back and did it again in 2007.
Well, so, we call that a double whammy. And a double whammy is pretty special in racing. And I've been fortunate enough to be in three. And Drums is one has a couple double whammies. And Bill Furr probably has more than anybody out there. But it's really special when you it's the competition is so tough just to win in one class is really good, but it's really special when you can put it all together and go to the starting line seven times on Sunday and come back with the winner's ticket every time.
You talked about Bill Furr. You had to run Armin Furr, who is the current world champion in the Pro Fuel class, and that had to be a good run. Tell me a little bit about that run. What happened on that run?
I may be wrong, but I think that's probably the quickest ever side-by-side Pro Fuel run. Well, 661 and a 660. I think you ran a 665. Not many times you run a 665 where you lose. But Armin is a good racer, and he's come a long ways, and he's got a lot of good help. And every time we go to the starting line, you know if you race him, you're going to have to beat him. He's not going to give it away. And it's really good when you can win races like that.
Well, it was definitely action-packed. It was a great weekend for you. And, man, I'll tell you what, I'm really interested in, because you're bringing out back the bike that you won those championships with IHRA back several years ago.
Yeah,
that bike
for next year,
it was faster than this bike here, is that correct?
No, it's not faster. We have the Johnny's bike has a speed record of 224, so it's a, you know, Johnny's bike. Pretty daggum fast.
Okay. So, and yeah, I thought it was a 223 that you've been with on this? 221. How about ET-wise? How do they stand?
642. 642. Okay. And that was in 2000 and either 2000 or 2001. But it'll run. It'll run.
Let me ask you this. If you were going 642 in 2001, how many changes have they found since then on these motors in Top Fuel?
It's quite a bit. The fuel systems are better. The clutches are better. Everybody's, you know, everything's going quicker since then, so I don't know why we can't apply what we've learned since then to this one and make it run with everybody else. That's our plan anyway.
Well, it's going to be very, very interesting to see whenever you finally are able to bring that. You will have that bike, am I correct? Was that coming into to Rockingham, or is that still with Johnny?
No, that'd be for next season. I'm going to run that bike at Richmond at the NHRA race as a tune-up for next year.
Okay. So what is your schedule before you come into Rockingham?
Oh, we're full. We're going to National Trail Raceway on Saturday, the Jake's Northern Nationals. Doing an exhibition. There'll be six bikes up there, Mike Romine, Jim Fagan, myself, Chris Streeter, and Jake Storter, and Tommy Sloan, and then then the following weekend, we're at NHRA for the Nationals at Richmond for the Screaming Eagle Top Fuel class.
And so you come right back in to the track that you just dominated in. So you've got to be good about that. You've got to tune up for that, baby.
Well, the competition's going to be really tough. So the track's going to be different. The NHRA track prep's going to be very good, and it's probably going to be cooler, and so there's no telling what's going to happen there. And Rockingham's going to be the same way. I expect to see all the records fall again at Rockingham, like they did last year.
Well, I think that's going to be absolutely excellent. Well, listen, I can't do anything but wish you the best. You know, I absolutely love to watch you race. It's
Thanks
fun
a lot.
To get to say your nickname, too. I enjoy that. Ain't nothing like the Bulldog.
Thanks for having me on the show. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on, TJ.
All right,
Take care.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, man. These guys are pretty cool. It's amazing. I was here looking at while you're talking with him. I'm looking at a ton of photographs that I found online. Just type in Jay Turner, racer, rider. I typed them both in Google, and you get tons of pictures and stories about Jay Turner. It's amazing.
He's a fine young man and truly one of the best riders out there in motorcycles, period. He is absolutely awesome.
Now, I guess we're going to come up with Bob Malloy. You say he's the, on Real Racing USA's All Harley Drag page, there's an ad that we run around various websites promoting the show, and you're telling me that bike is Bob Malloy's bike.
That is Bob Malloy on there, yes, and I wasn't aware of it. Because it's tough to tell, and he told me at the last race, he says, I saw my picture. I said, that is you? He says, yeah. He says, that's me out there. He liked that. He said, that was cool.
Well, that's cool. Good.
We'll have to see if maybe that picture being up there, the more we grow, the faster he'll go, one of those deals, huh?
All right. We'll be right back here with some more of the wild riders of the all-Harley drag racing deal, man. Hang on.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
We're back with the All Harley Drag section of our Real Racing USA Straight Lining with Stevie show every Wednesday night. And I think Stevie's hooked up with Bob Malloy. How you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Well, Bob, you had a good weekend over the weekend. I'm going to jump right into the fire here. And you took on Jay Turner in the finals here in Top Fuel at Virginia. And whenever I originally talked about this show I was going to have on, I said it was a thrill of a double victory versus the agony of defeat. And unfortunately, you were the guy on the short end of the stick, yet you ran incredible numbers on paper. You had the Bulldog on paper. He was yours for the taking. And you'd run a 645, a 646, backed up with a 645. Then you rolled up to the line to square off with Turner for one last shot in the finals. And tell us what happened.
Well, after I did the burnout, I came up to get stopped, and I saw something leaking. I originally thought it was a fuel leak, but it ended up being a 50-cent O-ring in the oil filter. It blew out of its seat. But let me tell you something. Even if I hadn't blown that seal, Jay Turner and Team Mancuso are formidable. I would have had my best run of the day with my best leave of the day to even think about beating those guys.
Well, you had compiled the numbers. You were truly, this was going to be Bob Malloy Day at VMP because of the numbers you were backing up. You were a 640 bracket racer, man. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, well, I've been developing a new clutch for the last year, and it's really coming to fruition now.
I started off the year really well in Gainesville, and the second race I did okay, and then I had problems for four races. I tore up a lot of parts. And I'm just so thankful I got through the end of yesterday and didn't tear up any parts. I can't be disappointed. I would love to win, but I can't be disappointed.
Now, you know, on my sheet up there, it said for crew chief, it said none. And do you do the crewing yourself or just what?
Well, I have one guy that helps me. He's my machinist. He's my crew guy. He's my friend. His name is Bobby Knight. And him and I pretty much do everything ourselves. We have one other guy that comes part-time to help us, but it's just a two-man team. And
so you are the crew chief then, really?
Yeah, well, him and I bounce things off of each other, and I get some help from other people that aren't there, but for the most part, yeah, we're just a two-man team.
Well, you seem like a pretty darn tough team. Because it really, that was just a very impressive bike. Now, it didn't start off first round when you came up in time trials. Tell us about it as the day started off for you, how it progressed.
Well, like I said, for the last four races, I was torching cylinder head. So we got our problem, we thought, fixed, and I was still creeping back up on the tune-up. I didn't want to just go and put it right back to where I knew it would run 640s because I wasn't 100% sure we were fixed. So the first round, I just missed it a little bit, and as soon as I hit the throttle, it put the front hole out. It kills the run. You're done.
Yeah.
So I got a little conservative for the second round, and it ran a 654, which I was happy with. And the third round, I really went to run a 40, and then I had a fuel valve malfunction. So I knew Saturday night that I was okay to run at least low 50s, and it ended up being a mid-40 bike, which was, and I just kept that tune for the day, just try to get consistent, stay consistent.
Well, you know, Bob, you started off in Florida earlier in the season, out in Gainesville, with a win, and then suddenly, was it a clutch problem or was it a fuel problem? What happened? All of a sudden, you just fell right off the scale from a guy that looked like he could possibly just dominate it, you know, the entire season, to suddenly there's Bob Moy struggling.
Well, it was
what was the problem?
It was a self-inflicted ignition problem that we caused ourselves, and by welding on the frame, and our race pack has no way to monitor our ignition. I can monitor everything else but our ignition. And every time I put the little checker on it, it checked fine. Well, what was happening is the programmable box, which I use a MSD ignition, which is phenomenal. The programming part of it was going haywire, and I didn't know it. And we were chasing other things for the first couple races, thinking it was something else. And it took a few races to figure it out, and obviously, once we got it figured out, we got pretty much back on track.
Well, it took a while, and like I say, you stuck with it, and finally, these numbers, I just kind of blew me away as I watched the numbers pop up. You just stayed in the 40s, and this thing was just stuck to the track, absolutely stuck. Whenever you had to shut it off out there because of an oil leak, I thought, oh my. And then when we talked down there afterwards in the winner's circle area, and you showed me a 50-cent O-ring. I thought, man alive, that's heartbreak. Talk about the agony of defeat. So close, yet still out there.
There's so many things that have to be right, and just one that can be wrong, and you're done.
Well, this is one of the items you really couldn't tell. I mean, there was no way to foresee this. There was no visual, you know, no visual sign.
Nope, it just happened. It's just like one of those things that just happened, you know, you can't foresee the future.
Well, you know, speaking of the future, how do you foresee yourself rolling into, I believe we're going to, into Rockingham next. Are you doing any racing before Rockingham?
Yes, I have a race this weekend at my local track in Cecil County, Maryland. And then I'm going to the NHRA race in Richmond next weekend. And then we're going to go to Rockingham the weekend after. So we have a month of racing ahead of us that's pretty intense. But the nice thing is I brought the bike home Sunday night, took it apart Monday, looked at everything, put everything right back together. It was perfect. Nothing was hurt.
You know, on top fuel, cars now, they're really hard on bearings and stuff. How does a top fuel motorcycle engine compare, perhaps, to a car engine as far as crushing bearings or anything like that? Do you experience those type of problems when you run it?
Yeah, my bike's hard on rod bearings, especially because it's a high gear bike. It's really hard on rod bearings. I replace them every three runs. Other than that, though, it's pretty good.
But when we talk about crushing, and for those people that may not have experienced something like that, we're talking about actually flattening the bearing, and you take a micrometer and measure to see what the thickness of the bearing is after the run. Offhand, do you know just about how much your bearing normally crushes after you make a run?
Oh, I crush it about 15,000. It's enough that you can see the oil pressure drop.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I lose about 10 pounds of oil pressure.
So as you're headed out on the top end, if you could visually look, you look down there, you can actually see the gauge going down.
Well, no, I read it on my race pack computer.
Okay.
Once I make the run, I have all that data that's recorded for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's got to be scary, because if that bearing goes, you know, everything goes. Do you ever blacken any bearings with this motor, or has it been pretty strong?
No, this red line oil that I use has been pretty darn good to me, so I haven't blackened any or tried to spin any, but it sure does flatten them. And that's just, you know, part of the characteristics of the motor with a high gear and its tremendous load on it.
Well, you know, you spoke about red line oil. You use a synthetic oil in there. How much difference has synthetic oil made for you versus the regular oil when it comes to running something like this? What type of life expectancy has that given to the motors?
Well, to be honest with you, I've used Redline since the day I put this together. They've been one of my sponsors, and I've used their product pretty much exclusively, so I really don't know. I know one thing, when I pull the motor apart, the piston skirts look fine. You know, there's no scuffing or abnormal wear, so I'm sticking with it.
On these motors, I hear a lot of guys talk about they lift cylinder heads off. Have you ever experienced any problems like that with them actually lifting a cylinder head off?
Yeah, actually, in St. Louis, I blew a cylinder head off, the rear cylinder head, and the ignition was all the blame for that due to my, you know, mistake. And then I torched six cylinder heads, which it actually, the fire in the combustion chamber comes out the side of the engine and exits, and it's like a blowtorch.
Got to ask, are those repairable?
Well, sometimes they are. I repaired all of them but one.
Because that could get quite expensive.
Yes, it did. It was sickening. It had me the closest that I was ever been to quitting, because I did not know what the problem was. I was down and out. I actually missed the Bristol AHDRA race because of it. I just had to take a break and regroup and try to, you know, figure out what was wrong. And luckily we did, and we came back, and hopefully we'll be okay running now. I run on a limited budget, so I was only going to go to the East Coast races anyway for this year, and those four races that I had trouble with and then missed in Bristol, it really killed me for the point.
Well, Bob, you talked about it was just you and a buddy basically doing this. Do you have any major sponsors?
I do. I have a list of sponsors that I'd like to take a minute and thank for, especially for sticking with me through my terrible midsummer slump. But Bill and Donna Bennett from HDFC for Delaware are my primary sponsor. Bob Knight, my crew member, Protofab Race Bike, Bonafont Clutches, which is my consistency right now. That clutch that we have in my bike is unbelievable. Carrata Enterprises and Goodyear Belt. Their belt, CP Pistons, MSD Ignition, Redline Oil, Crawford Fuel Injection, Worldwide Bearings, APE, and Ultra Pro Heads. And without any of these guys, I would not be out here doing it.
Well, that's quite a statement to make. I think the investment that they made in you is truly money well spent, because you are now really, really on a streak. I do believe, coming to the next race, you'll probably be the guy I'm going to be watching the most, especially when you come out there first round. If those numbers come up first round, I'm sure everybody's going to be watching you, because after watching how consistent you were when you did find your problem, wow, this thing is like it's on a string, and it's just nice, clean runs. Within a hundredth of a second on three runs was a spread. My gosh, you could bracket race this thing and send three ET, huh?
Yeah, but let me tell you, there's 8 or 10 teams that at any given time could step up and do the same thing better than me. This is a tough racket, especially when you're doing it on a limited budget. I mean, these guys have very deep pockets, and they don't think about anything about the parts they need to do it, and it's very, very tough.
Well, you've made it almost look easy at this last race, although I know what you went through on the other ones. I do want to thank you for coming on tonight, and guys, do you have a website that we could send people to by chance?
I don't. I have one being constructed right now. It will be MalloyRacingProducts.com when it's up. I will post it on the AHDRA. And I am looking for a marketing partner for next year to enable me to go to all the races to run for the championship.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be definitely pulling for you. Also, I do want to say to not just Bob, but for all the riders out there, that if you would like to post pictures on our site, it's absolutely free. And if you have press releases, I would love to hear it. Bob, I'd love to get press releases from you and, of course, from Jay as well. And all the guys out there, you don't have to be a pro sportsman, please.
Yeah, just
press releases, we'll put them up for you.
It all adds up to helping promote the sponsors, you know, that you do have, which in the end helps make it easier to acquire new sponsors. And, Bob, I wanted to ask you, you don't mind that we use your picture in the commercials, do you?
Not at all. Not
okay.
at all. And I am working on a press release as we speak. It should be done in a couple days.
Cool.
Well, I'm glad you asked him that, and we got it on tape now, because I guess we could have been skinned alive, couldn't we?
I don't mind at all.
Well, thanks again, Bob. You're a great sport, not too much, and absolutely a great rider. It is a joy talking with you. Thanks for coming on the show tonight, Guy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pretty wild, huh,
Steve?
One of the nicest
guys.
Yeah.
He is just one of the nicest guys to talk with. He's so sincere. It's just a pleasure to talk with him. He's just really, really a super nice guy.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we taped a show earlier before we came into Straight Line and with Stevie here. We taped a show that features some young, a series that races young stock car racers. And two of the interviews, Stevie, this is really, really, it's amazing that two of the interviews we did were with young guys who are being highly, highly successful, and neither one of them have any funding compared to what they're competing against, and yet they are winning the game. You know what I mean? And now twice tonight in these interviews, we talked to guys who use the word, we're racing on a limited budget. And amazingly, one of these kids, he made a statement that's really stuck with me tonight, and that was he said that, you know, this is coming from a 22-year-old kid. He says, you know, because we don't have the funding of our competitors, he thinks he works harder and smarter and tries a lot harder than he might if he had money. And, you know, I was thinking that all the way through Bob Malloy's interview.
You know, this is a guy that, now you say, he almost gave it a frustration, just
yeah,
enormous. Still, he just—it's that racer drive. It's something inside someone who becomes a racer, whether he turns left or he goes straight.
Yeah.
And once it gets you, you cannot let it go. There's only one thing in your mind, and that's perfection. And all these guys, every time they go out, they go for perfection.
If you're going to win, that's what you got to do, right?
Absolutely. Great guys, boy. I'll tell you, I love them all. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to. I guess, do you have any quick announcements we need for between now and next Wednesday that we need to get out?
Well, right offhand, I really don't have anything other than, I'm racing.
Yeah.
And I've got a race here that, this is the race up here in Martin, Michigan. I've got 4 days of drag racing, and when I come home, I'm actually going to be home for a week. Of course, in that week, my wife has a list, including one, I have to replace my driveway.
Oh, my.
I would have to be busted up, and I have to lay a new driveway.
Oh, boy.
So, it's really weird. I only have 1 week off between now and the second week of December, and I'm going to end up out there with a jackhammer and
busting up my driveway.
Yeah, that sounds like a
thrilling. I'd much rather be drag racing.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And we just want to remind people, if you have photos or press releases, send them to feedback@realracingusa.com or send them to Steve Letemp and you get in touch with Steve at the track and hook up with him, and we'll arrange to promote your deal, your team, and hopefully it'll help you with your current sponsorship and increase the amount of sponsorship you have.
Yeah, and the Harley guys, you can reach me. Of course, you can get to me on the talk shop on the Harley site or the Drag Racers, period, whether it be IHRA or whether it be AHDRA. You guys can contact me at @SLETEMPT@SC.RR.com. And I promise you, Stevie will get back to you, and I will answer all emails. I will never let my fellow racer down.
All right, Stevie. Talk to you. I guess we're going to hook up next Wednesday night here on Real Racing USA, straight lining with Stevie.
I have absolutely no idea who it's going to be or what it's going to be, but I guarantee if it's drag racing, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to close out with something you might be a little familiar with, the Wizard. Talk to you later.
Okay. You have a great one. Good night, everybody.